Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, my fabulous friend Dave Solomon. Oh, my beautiful, beautiful day in Baltimore. We've got so much music and so much material to cover. It's Memorial Day weekend ahead, and I don't even know where to begin. I don't know if Jerry B's going to stop by, and it's cool because I know he is bloodthirsty busy, but I know who for sure is dropping by at 3, and that is Earl Carter. Let me tell you something about this guy, Earl Carter. This guy seems so irreverent to say that. He is just one of the coolest cats in the whole world. One of the more respected guitarists I have known in a long time. And just to show you the power of Earl, he was tapped by a very wealthy sheik to play at the sheik's five-star hotel in Ethiopia. Earl's going to tell us about that journey and about his career, which has been pretty amazing. And we corresponded just a little while ago, so you're going to hear some special music from Earl Carter, too. A little song or two that might surprise you in the mix. Oh, boy. And it's so often the case, something right off the top, it's just going to thrill you. One of these classic gents, one of these legends that we love so much. Here's Charles Lloyd, come Sunday on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
That is my best friend. Woo! I have to tell you, I just told the chat room, the folks that I dearly love with us today on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy, that I get a Jones for this song every few weeks, and now it's getting to be more and more because this is the definitive summer kind of song in Philadelphia right now. It's my hometown, and the Chestnut Brothers bring Philly back to me every time I hear them. I'm in Baltimore now, but I hear Philadelphia when they open up their mouths or I hear that instrumentation. Traveling on the name of that track, I want you to go to chestnutbrothers.com, C-H-E-S-T-N-U-T, brothers.com, and hear the kind of soul that permeates that website. It is just so wonderful, and Al Chestnut and I have gotten to be pretty good buds. He is just such an activist, such a loving guy, and wants to make sure the world is a better place. And, you know, to a little bit of an extent, he has done that on his page on Facebook. His daughter, Jamikia, has done something very cool. She apparently has her own company called So Fresh and Clean. And it's So Fresh, spell it out, capital N, and then clean.net. You go there, and she does all of these products with shea butter. Now, I'm going to tell what I saw, and I couldn't get too involved in it, but I was getting a little excited because she has these massage lotions. You don't have to use them for massage, but they've got varying kinds of aromas, like peach, cinnamon. There's a particular kind for the gentleman, but one of them is a little sexy, so it's certainly a massage lotion. I was just so taken with what I saw that I'm going to be doing some ordering soon. Thank you, Al Chestnut, for your daughter. That is so nice. SoFreshAndClean.net. And the song you heard is Traveling On. Go to the Chestnut Brothers website and see if you can purchase that. You can purchase them individually in varying ways. And I'm telling you, if you don't feel better after you hear that song, check your pulse, okay? That's all I'm saying. Ken Navarro, speaking of feeling good, Message in a Bottle from his brand new The Test of Time. Such beautiful works of art. The songs that you have come to love, the Beatles or the Allman Brothers or that one, Sting and the Police, just give a new life on the guitar that Ken has done in such a way, he has such a style, that I have heard people actually look at the video or hear the song and their breath goes away. I mean, he's just so amazing at what he has been able to do with the kind of fingering needed to get these songs to go into a different dimension. When you hear all instrumentals of songs that had heretofore words, it's just a different story. It's a whole new kind of healing involved. Ken is really celebrating because his son Eric graduated with a master's degree in clinical psychology over the weekend, and his daughter just had graduated. She had found work, I believe, in San Francisco. So, Ken, you are doing something right. You and your wonderful wife, man, you have raised some great kids. Ken is coming to Blues Alley on the 14th of June, Flag Day, my sister Rosemary's birthday. So hopefully I'll be there and we'll have more stories to tell and more pictures to share on Facebook. Charles Lloyd, let me tell you something. This guy is so crazy. Wonderful crazy. Just a career and a half, 74 years young. Kirk Whalum was talking about him a few weeks ago. Just loves Charles Lloyd, also, like Kirk, a Memphis native. The song you heard is Come Sunday from the critically acclaimed Jumping the Creek album back in 2005. Charles Lloyd, saxophonist, and took that Duke Ellington song to a new level. On the album is Jerry Allen on piano, Robert Hurst on double bass, and on drums, Eric Harland. this man, Charles Lord, was a sideman in blues bands coming up in Memphis, including B.B. King's, but got a music degree from UCLA. And his world changed because he had that blues bent, but then he got involved in jazz, and he was playing with Chico Hamilton and Cannonball Adderley. Keith Jarrett was so cool in blending different kinds of jazz that he and his quartet were one of the first, actually the first jazz group to be invited to play at the Fillmore, which was a really amazing feat. But he took a hiatus. He disappeared from the scene for a while, and then he came back. This jazz cat played with Canned Heat, Roger McGuinn, The Doors, long stint with the Beach Boys, and now he's got a new quartet with some dates on his very cool website, charlesloyd.com. Jason Moran, Ruben Rogers, reunited with Eric Harland. He is just the cat's meow, just so well-versed on sax. And to see his whole story unfold, there's a longer PDF on the website. Just read about him, because you'll be fascinated. I mean, this is why I get so overcome when I talk about these legends that are still with us. Honor them while you can, please. Chelsea Green, let me tell you something about this girl. She is busy. Oh, I love her so much. And a little story to tell after we hear this three-song set. Don't forget, our great friend Errol Carter's coming your way at 3 o'clock. Actually, not this hour, not next hour, but the hour after that. And music to just celebrate life. It's Memorial Day weekend coming up, and we are so thankful for those that have died in the service of country. We want to make sure, though, with all of the death that we have had in 2012, we need to honor those that have given their lives, and we need to make sure we tell one another how much we appreciate each other while we are living, don't you think? Let's do it. Let's play something alive and well from Still Green, new from Chelsea Green on violin. This is called Pizzicato on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woo-hoo.
across my mind today. You made me smile as you danced around my brain. Synapse, relapse, sit back, relax, enjoy the rain, show brain snow.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Carla Chisholm and Brain Snow from Moving On. Oh my gosh, that girl was so excited. You know, if you have seen Carla Chisholm, to hear her is one thing because she's got pretty amazing chops, but then to see the whole package because she is just a beautiful girl, a long, tall drink of water. And she's going to be at Blues Alley tomorrow. So I am so glad. It's tough to keep up with all the folks who are local, regional, national, and international. So, you know, you try your best, and Facebook helps out a lot. But this is a big week for Carla, and I'm so glad I zeroed in because I found out that yesterday was her 2-year wedding anniversary to her beloved Todd Googens, who is a vocal artist. He's a singer. He's a voiceover guy. They are so cute together. It's not even funny. And then that's happening this week, and then tomorrow she's going to be at Blues Alley. The last time she was there, she sold it out. So if you are listening either live or in the archives a little bit later on, make sure you kick off the Memorial Day weekend right, because she is a joy to behold in concert. Going to be doing all those tunes from Moving On, including Brain Snow and a whole bunch more. She just comes from the heart, and then when she has fun, she has F-U-N. We heard Incognito and the group's latest from the CD Surreal, the only instrumental track on the album. Yeah, how about that? Mesa is back there, and also Vanessa Haynes and Natalie Williams, Imani and Mo Brandis. And this 15-piece band is kicking it on this CD. 15th studio album. The band formed in 1980 by Bluey. Bluey's real, he's making sure folks know about this CD. It's just getting some real nice reviews, especially with all the mix of vocals on there. I just think it's intriguing that there's one instrumental. Rivers on the Sun is the name of it. And it's just, you know, it kicks it up a notch with each Incognito CD. And I know they're playing in the UK these days, and I know there's going to be a more fleshed out tour schedule that Bluey's going to have on there, but we'll keep you posted, because we'll have to delve into some of the vocal tracks in the upcoming shows here on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Chelsea Green to start things off, Pizzicato, a little nod to her classical roots from her CD Still Green. Chelsea Green, ChelseyGreen.com, D.C. based, although I see that she's looking to see if she can get some temporary housing in Texas. She's really doing a lot as far as touring. Just got back from St. Lucia, the jazz festival there. She's going to be in Florida tomorrow. She will be part of a teen arts performers camp this summer, and that's very exciting because in the camp scenario with her is Fred Yanné, who, man, if those two got together on harmonica and violin, it would just be so crazy. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case. And actually, that will be the case. That's right, because they're going to be on a summer solstice together in June. That's the three-day festival that our Anita King is going to kick off in mid-June. We'll have to tell you more about that because Anita's going to be on the show letting you know what's up as far as that goes. But Chelsea Green just had one of her bags missing from American Airlines recently. Remember I told you the story the other day about Pocket Brown? Our new friend Hat Carpenter contacted me. We tried our best on Facebook to find the person whose bag it belonged to, and we found her, Pocket Brown. And Chelsea Green just had a bag lost, same airline, and she got what Pocket Brown got, some rude folks on the airline. So it makes me wonder what's going on, because if you're rude to Chelsea Green, something's wrong with you. She never, ever gets cross with people. The closest I've seen her come is telling this story that I just told you on her Facebook page. So guess that speaks, I guess, volumes about the airline. It makes me think twice about whether I'll use them. So, just a word to the wise. Yes, Errol Carter's coming your way at the top of the 3 p.m. Eastern Time hour. So that's about an hour and 15 minutes away. He's going to have a large story for you. He is a fascinating guy, one of the more humble and one of the more talented people that you'll ever meet. And isn't that a wonderful combination when somebody is so talented but yet gives glory to God, just a messenger, thank you very much. I'm tickled that everybody likes what I do, but I know where the gift comes from. Woo! That just makes me so excited. One of those people, God rest her soul, was Shirley Scott. She did her thing back some years ago. And you would know the name especially in conjunction with her time in the 60s with her then-husband, Stanley Turrentine. This lady was called the Queen of the Organ. She tore it up, and I'm going to give you a little taste of that right now. This is the Shirley Scott Trio. Born in Philly, don't you know? This is the trio's take on Make Someone Happy. Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Oh, bless his heart. You know what? I remember that when Jared and I first talked about Manhattan Nights, and that was, gosh, a couple of years ago now, because we were anticipating the album coming out, and we just were caught up in this conversation. He was waxing poetic about the Bee Gees and how much he loved that song, and he wanted to do the song, but he was very sensitive to how it would be received, because he wanted to do it as a tribute to a group that he loved so much. And, you know, now when I hear the song, and I know Jared feels the same way, when we hear this song, we're always going to think of Robin Gibb, who passed away, and son of a gun, didn't it come in threes, huh? Chuck Brown, Donna Summer, and Robin Gibb. Just real heart-tugging to know that Barry Gibb is the only Bee Gee left. He's the only brother left. And I haven't investigated as to whether Barry's parents are still living, but if his mom is, I can't even imagine what it's like for her to have lost all these boys. And, man, just heartbreaking to hear how deep is your love. Jared did such a great job. And meanwhile, please keep Jared in your prayers now, too, besides the Gibb family, because the only dad that Jared has ever known, his grandfather, is in the hospital. He thought he was going to get out, but he is now in for an extended period of time. So Jared apologized on Facebook and said, look, it's nothing personal. If I don't get back to you, my head's in a different place. Keep Jared and his grandfather in your prayers, if you will. Oh, my goodness, this has to stop. We have to feel better and healthy and get ourselves together as much as we possibly can and just keep in a prayerful mode to keep loved ones alive and upright, please. We heard from Chris Bodie, and Chris has a new CD out called Impressions. It's a very thoughtful CD. There is not an up-tempo track on that CD, but you know what? It may be the album you go to this really special weekend. I know it's a holiday weekend, but on the other side of the holiday mode, there is a real deeper meaning that we need to reinvestigate as far as Memorial Day is concerned. That was Tango Suite with Herbie Hancock. How about that? Woo! He also has on the CD Vince Gill, Andrea Bocelli, David Foster, Mark Knopfler, and Caroline Campbell. Chris is doing something real cool. He's turning his attention to baby boomers. Thank you, Chris. And he wants us to be aware of the fact that the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary is concerned about your hearing. What? So he is doing his part on chrisbodie.com to have you get empowered as far as your hearing is concerned. So I'm going to let it go at that. San Diego, be aware that Chris is going to be in your town at Humphreys on June the 1st, and then L.A. on the 2nd of June at The Greek. So make sure you go see Chris, although he'll be back in a minute because he has no place to live. He's always on the road. I can't even go see his schedule anymore because it makes me dizzy and I have to take a pill. But he seriously doesn't not have a place to live. Or if he's there, it's like a couple of days out of the year. I don't know what is up with this guy, but somebody ask him, and we'll have to do an interview sometime. If he ever decides to lose his snobbery against internet radio, the last time that I spoke to his people made it clear that he doesn't do internet radio. He just does the legitimate radio station. The terrestrial ones. Chris, God bless you. You know what? The jazz stations are running out on terrestrial radio. You might want to rethink that. So, message to Chris. Shirley Scott Trio at the top of this three-song set. And Shirley Scott was with us from 1934 in March to 2002 of March. Interesting thing to say about Shirley. Just amazing. On piano, trumpet, she got to love the organ via Jimmy Smith. spent quite a few times with Eddie Lockjaw Davis on saxophone, married Stanley Turrentine, became a jazz educator, and very well respected. She was one of those ladies that hung out with the guys all the time, and everything was as the way it was supposed to be. She was a lady. She was talented. She was a friend and mentor to many. And here's what happened to her. She got involved, and I swallow hard when I say this because I got involved, too, with Fen-Phen back in the 90s, shall we say. And it affected Shirley's heart considerably. She had a lot of damage to her heart. She won a major lawsuit in 2000, $8 million. She couldn't really enjoy it for too long because she passed away in 2002. So, yeah, there's a few lessons there. If you want to pick up on something sweet, pick up Great Scott from circa 1964 or so. Yeah, make someone happy. Make yourself happy while you're at it. Let's turn our attention before we get to Earl Carter at the top of next hour. This is another buddy of mine. So glad to call him my buddy. Just so amazing on piano. Getting involved with different kinds of forays into classical and jazz. We had him on the show some months ago, and I'm always keeping tabs on Demetrius Crayon Neighbors from Detroit. Love this song. A Journey Within Part 1 is the name of the CD, and Full of Peace is the name of the track on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
come last one. Let's ride that silver train right down the Hudson. Have lunch in Midtown, it's summer in New York. Post friend, yo, meander through the Met just like we used to. The odds are King Tut's still summers in New York. We'll both review Fifth Avenue from uptown to St. Pat. Indulge our vice, Italian ice, then walk through Central Park. It's summer in New York. Order two espressos at a jazz club where someone we know is gigging in New York. There's more to do tomorrow to get lost inside the Strand. Devote some time to Guggenheim. See Shakespeare in the park. It's summer in New York.
So you knew that there was going to be at least a couple of summertime songs, right? Of course. And there's not much to say. You know, honestly, we could all wax poetic about Michael Franks, couldn't we? and talk about where we were when we heard a song by him and how it gives us the same feeling, even though we've heard it maybe 50 times later. But the fact of the matter is, like my friend Albert in the chat room, when he heard the first word, you just know it's Michael Franks. And as Albert said, enough said. Really, except to tell you some good news about Michael Franks, other than the fact that that's from Time Together, Summer in New York. Just saw the website, and I'm tickled because I frankly was worried for a little bit that I didn't see any dates. So I know Veronica Nunn is really excited because she'll be on this tour, of course. But there's going to be a couple of dates at Yoshi's in Oakland in late July, and then he's coming to different places, including Alexandria, Virginia at the Birchmere, and Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland, just as he did last year. I'm really thrilled about that because he's quite, quite charming in person, and you just get the flavor of what you've come to expect from Michael Franks for so many years. There it is. It all comes to life for you. The band, it's like having old friends over for dinner. It really is something. So Michael Franks, and there's your first sort of summer-flavored song, but we'll play one momentarily, don't you know. And actually, we played a brand new one. Now, here's the story on that David Benoit track that you just heard. From the forthcoming This Tuesday CD drop, Conversation. That song was called Napa Crossroads Overture. We were supposed to play that song a couple of times on Cool Jazz Conversations, but there were some technical difficulties in the past 2 weeks, so I'm not sure how David is feeling about it right now, but hopefully he will have been very happy to have me play that song, because that is a collaboration, as it were, with David Pack. And anytime we can get those two Davids together to collaborate, that's something special. David Pack is into wine, and there are plans afoot for having more of these jazz artists delve more into associations with wineries. And Napa, certainly, Napa Valley, woo, that just says everything. You say those two words, Napa Valley, you are drinking some Sauvignon Blanc on a hill somewhere. But that song just conjures up these whole images of summer and relaxation and riding your bike someplace serene and not having any negativity on Facebook for a week or so. Yeah. So thank you, David Benoit, for that. And the rest of Conversation is so fine. You heard Jonathan Widren talk about his good friend David Benoit a week or so ago, and the whole album is peppered with different kinds of takes on things, brand new material, mind you, but straight ahead, you know, a little contemporary, some nice stuff that falls in the cracks. It's really choice material. Conversation, look for it on Tuesday, all right? Then Demetrius Neighbors, God bless him, you make sure you go to dknmusic.com and find out what's happening with this young man, because he is making some cool strides. I believe he's with Dave McMurray tonight. Then he's got a meet and greet listening party tomorrow night in Michigan. And a lot of folks are giving buzz about this particular CD, and you need to know those particulars. DKN, by the way, as in Demetrius, K as in crayon with a K, and N as in neighbors, like Jim Neighbors, howdy! But no, they're not related. Thank you, God. But Demetrius Neighbors, A Journey Within Part 1, the track you heard is full of peace. And find out how this guy is doing, what he has learned in the way of classical piano, how it translates into chamber jazz, how it translates into straight ahead or contemporary jazz. He knows how to do all of it. And to see a dad and a father, a husband, an artist who is passionate about his craft do well, it makes me high. He's a wonderful guy. And if you heard the show a few months ago, then you know how cool he is. Demetrius Neighbors, D-E-M-E-T-R-I-U-S. We're going to get to a few tracks. And, of course, Earl is coming your way at the top of next hour. But I definitely wanted to play this particular song. We're going to have three songs in a row that have some meaning in a few different ways. But these are some cool tracks, and we're going to delve into Earl Carter music. But first, if he had lived, tomorrow would have been his birthday, and he would have been 86. It's hard to imagine that he could have lived that long anyway because of the amazing and many times tumultuous life that he led. But what genius did Miles Davis leave us with? A question? Answer? This is Summertime with the Gil Evans Orchestra on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
you can please, for Miss Kimberly Jordan on the keyboard.
Say, 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 we've got to do something, yeah, say it's a prayer. Yeah, 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 we've got to do something, yeah, say it's a prayer.
Stay right there.
Just can't keep doing nothing, can't keep doing nothing. Got to try and do something.
You know what? That would be so nice for some of us to delve into the Ultimate Jazz Collection number 16 this weekend. Hear tracks like that. Wasn't that just amazing? Save the Children from Gil Scott-Heron. Now, it's going to be hard for some folks to hear this because it's just amazing that time has flown. But on this 27th, this Sunday, it will be a year that he will have left us. A year. My gosh. And it's just so hard because I was just telling my good friends in the chat room that, you know, for those of us who remember Gil Scott-Heron when he first came on the scene, because those of us, especially who were going to Temple University back in the day, knew that Gil, because he was only a few years older than me, was going to Lincoln University. Just amazing that he had his origins there. He wanted to go to school there because Langston Hughes had gone to school there, and he loved him. And, man, to know the body of work that Gil Scott-Heron left and to know that he was in such anguish, much drug use and abuse. And you thought to yourself, okay, he's going to be gone any second. But then he had changed, and he was trying to change so much. He had made us believe that there was this new and improved Gil Scott-Heron. And we all change, we all grow, we all learn from what we have done in our lives that wasn't so cool. We get evolved. He was just so vastly intelligent. But by the time he left us last year, he was HIV positive. He had come back from a trip, and he had pneumonia. He wasn't feeling well. He went to the hospital, and he passed away. So I'm not quite sure what the definitive cause of death was, but it doesn't matter. He's left us with all of this amazing work, and we had him for a brief and shining time. He has a beautiful memoir out, by the way, you should know. And he also was given by the Grammy Committee this Lifetime Achievement Award. And I have to tell you about this because there was someone in D.C. who was pivotal in making sure that Naras got his name before the committee, but who made sure that he wrote a letter of recommendation, you should know that that person was Bill Withers. He loved Gil, and he wanted the Grammy folks to know how much he had contributed to paving all the way for so many to feel empowered to speak out and boldly. How courageous was it for Gil Scott-Heron to speak so boldly about the things that nobody else was discussing at the time? I'm talking Temple University days. You know, this was 1970 to 1974. He was talking about these things even earlier, but we really were exploding with the whole notion of Gil Scott-Heron back in those days, just incorporating jazz and blues and soul and him pouring out his heart, making people angry, pissing people off right and left. But somebody had to wake up and speak, and he did. So we really appreciate him. And never got the degree at Lincoln University, but got a master's degree at Johns Hopkins University for creative writing. Born April the 1st, 1949, passed away on the 27th of May in 2011. Gil Scott-Heron, we miss you so much. We really do. Cindy Bradley, so proud of her. One moment more from her unscripted CD, one of those definitive works. I'm so proud of her and trumpet. She will never be boxed, and I love her for that. Coming to Blues Alley in the next few months. Coming to Cap Jazz very, very soon. And there's more at cindybradley.com about what she's doing and who she's helping and all the stories that you could possibly read about her fiance and her pets. She's got a cat who looks exactly, his name is Figaro, exactly like our Rufus here. And just real nice to see what kind of positivity she throws out there on her Facebook page. Love her so much. Miles Davis, let us make mention of the fact that you heard Summertime from Miles Davis, Porgy and Bess, with the great arranger Gil Evans and his 18-piece orchestra backing up. Miles, Cannonball was on those rehearsals and those sessions back in the summer of 1958. Paul Chambers, Philly Joe Jones, a bunch more. Columbia was so smitten with the idea that Miles and Gil had created such energy and success in Miles Ahead in 1957 that they gave them carte blanche. And let me tell you something, a lot of folks were really excited about the whole Porgy and Bess project. And a lot of people were turning out music from Gershwin's masterpiece. But when Miles and Gil turned this out, it just rendered everybody kind of null and void, because there was just such energy in Miles at that point. He was refocusing from bebop into melody, and he was smitten with the whole new world he was entering, and you can tell from every single piece. Matter of fact, somebody wrote about this particular foray for Gil and Miles. It was chilling. So you need to hear all of it during the summertime. So pick that up if you can. Miles Davis, Porgy and Bess with great Gil Evans and the George Gershwin work to end all works, Porgy and Bess. Let us focus now on our guest who's coming up momentarily, shall we? One of the great guitarists that I know, proud to call him friend. He's playing in town tonight at Club 347 with our good friend Eric Marner on saxophone. Woohoo! Mercy, this is Earl Carter from Project X, a song called Love This for This Weekend. It's called Let It Go on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Message of that song, right? Life is too short, let it go. Oh man, just a nice way to begin a session that is a little bit overdue. Ladies and gentlemen, I am just glad to give you someone who is a multitasker to beat the band. I'm telling you, I'm not sure what else this man does, because I know he's in church all the time doing his thing with music. Guitarist, bassist, saxophonist, teacher, a back and forth worldly traveler, going back and forth from D.C. to Ethiopia. I don't know how he does it. He's got an hour for us. Would you please make welcome Earl Carter. Hey, Earl.
Hello, Trish. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to hear your little precious voice. What's going on?
Well, everything, as always, everything going on. But I'm just going to let it go because life is too short.
Hey, you know what? Is that the best song in the world? Tell us about that, because that's from Project X. And let folks know who was doing the vocals and who you have playing with you on that CD.
I sure will, if I can remember all of the players. Actually, you know what? That, I think it was just three of us. The vocalist was also the writer. He wrote the lyrics, and he's been a friend of mine for many years. His name is Josh Stepperson, and he and I have written quite a few projects together. We do a lot of production work for clients, and he does.
Yeah.
He'll write the lyrics, and I'll do the music, and we put it together. And that's an example of what usually comes out of us working together.
And I put you on the spot because I've got the stuff in front of me in case you don't have it.
And I just want to mention, John Ford was on bass.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Who did I miss?
No, you know what? You were exactly right. There was just three of you. It was you on guitar, keyboards, and drum programming, John on bass, and Josh Stepperson on vocals. That was hot for, gosh.
Right. Ooh.
That's all you needed, because you were taking care of business on that song, and a lot of folks in the chat room, and I know folks who knew that you were going to come on the show pointed specifically to that track. That's one of those tracks that makes it easier to face the day.
Great, great. I'm going to have to make sure that Josh knows that, because I didn't get a chance to let him know about the interview, so I'm not sure if he's listening or not, but I'm going to have to make sure he knows that.
Oh, definitely. And listen, don't worry, Earl, because in actuality, pretty much like 10, 15 minutes now after the show is done, it goes into archive mode. So I'll make sure I send you the archive link, and then Josh can hear it later.
Oh, great, great. What I'll do is I'll send it to a lot of people then.
Yeah. So how are things? Tell me how this schedule is, and tell me, first and foremost, because I'm going to dive into your background, that's for sure, but how on earth did you get the little invitation from Sheikh Mohammed Hussein al-Amudi to come to Ethiopia? He handpicked you to be part of his band, right?
Well, the person that wrote my bio for me, they're also on the same team. So that's a good question, because I'm just one of the members, and she actually is one of the leaders/management of the team. I had gone there with another group the year before, and half of that year, and he wanted. Well, actually, it's his assistant. It's a guy by the name of John B. John B. wanted a new crew, and he requested me young lady that I'm speaking of specifically, and had to jump through hoops to get us out of our contract with the other company in order to get us over there.
Wow.
He wanted us back. So contractually, we weren't allowed to return without consent of the other organization. But they made it happen. That's how much they wanted me and the other young lady, Indigo, to return.
That is wild. And, you know, I notice that when you are writing back and forth on Facebook, sometimes you chime in, and I'm always grateful that when you say that you like something that was posted on my page, I always take notice, and I think to myself, okay, where is he now? Is he in D.C. or Ethiopia?
Well, you know what? If I say I like it, I really do like it. And
oh, I know.
I probably shared it as well on my page. And as far as where I am, every 3 months I rotate from D.C. to Ethiopia, so it just depends on which month we're in. That'll tell you whether I'm here or over there. 3 months I'm here, 3 months I'm there.
And in actuality, and we had this discussion a few years ago, because, Earl, there is not a time when you're not working.
Yeah. I'm going to say that is a blessing, because in this business it can be real tough. And when I was in corporate, it was a pretty tough transition starting out wanting to pursue my career full time. I had to actually grow my business in order to make that happen, and that's probably why you see me with credits for writing, producing, playing multiple instruments, and also if you look at my gig schedule, you'll see there's multiple genres as well, and then you'll see I'm in church. Yeah, that's because that enables me to work enough to keep my mortgage and other bills paid without having to go back to corporate America.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you made that decision, that was brave, because you were doing quite well on the corporate ladder, but you wanted to do music really badly.
Yeah. It was a tough decision, because one was very stable, but the other one, as in any business, is you're kind of taking a leap of faith. So you have to believe in my opinion, you have to believe in God and believe in yourself in order to have enough courage to go out there and say, I'm going to make this happen for me, for my supporters, the people who believe in me. And that's what got me through it. I've been really blessed, to be honest with you. I have.
Oh, no question. You really have, because you've developed a wonderful reputation. I can't tell you how many times since I've known you, and that's been like maybe 6 years or so, but anytime your name is mentioned, it's not like, oh, yeah, I know Earl, but it's, oh, my God, I love him.
Well, that's because I love them, too. Anybody who shows, who gives me support, I'm not an arrogant person, so I consider myself humble. I sincerely appreciate the support.
I love
them probably more than they love me, to be honest with you.
I don't know, but they keep coming back, and they keep asking questions, and if there's an opportunity to see you playing out, they're usually there. So I would suspect there's going to be a nice group there tonight at Club 347. You're definitely going to be there tonight, right?
I will definitely be there. I actually had an emergency out of town. There's something going on with one of my daughters.
Really?
She's stable. So I'm going to go visit her in the morning. But I didn't want to miss this show because, before you know it, I'll be gone again. I'll be back overseas. So I want to spend as much time with everybody as possible. And like I said, she's okay right now, and I'm going to go see her first thing in the morning. But
God bless you. Oh, my gosh. Prayers coming at you. Full tilt boogie.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my. You know what? It's always something, isn't it? Oh, wow. What a year 2012 has been. Has this been a really wacky year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm thankful to be here in 2012.
Oh, amen, my brother. I mean, everybody who is listening to this in live or archive mode is saying the same thing, because if this year doesn't give you the definitive, you best appreciate everything that you have in this life and be grateful that you woke up this morning. I'm not sure what it's going to take.
Right, right. You're right. Absolutely. What will it take if this hasn't made you humble and appreciative of what we all have?
Yep. And it's not to say, I mean, we certainly are assured that when we come into this life, you know, it's funny. It was funnier many years ago. Now it's really not so funny. But one thing you can be assured of, death and taxes. But now that it seems like so many people that we are aware of, we didn't know some of these celebrities, but we took them into our souls as family. So many from the beginning of the year have just gone. And then, you know, here you were this morning, right before the show started. And folks in the chat room don't know this, but, you know, when you had your CD out, 495, before Tina Marie passed away, you had her version of Out on a Limb. So I know you must have had the wind knocked out of you when you found out about Tina Marie, but gosh, we've had so many people that we have loved go.
She was one of my favorites. She's an excellent writer. She wrote that song because I had to pay the mechanical licensing to in order to have permission to record that song, and she was the sole writer of
yeah.
Out on a Limb. Yeah.
Yeah, she was amazing, and she was real generous with the time that she gave to other people so they could be under her tutelage, wasn't she?
Right. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So
beautiful
so
person, talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so yeah, I didn't mean to get so heavy because you and I are both really positive people, and you know, it's a knowledge that we both have that God has given us another day, and what are we going to do with it?
Absolutely. I was looking at the news a couple of days ago, and I saw an accident near where I lived. It was in Bowie, and I caught the tail end, but I believe the young lady and her friend were sitting still, and the car was struck, and a 21-year-old young lady passed as a result of that. She died.
Oh, my.
Yep.
My gosh, you just, you don't know, and you never assume that, I think that people got so lulled into another mode of thinking that they actually thought that they could control what their circumstances would be, and I guess people got so consumed with the secret, and you just project it, and it's going to come to pass. Well,
right. They
didn't take into consideration that God has something to say about that.
Absolutely. You know, I did not read The Secret, but I heard a lot about it. But I do believe that God has a plan for us.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's just piggybacking off of what you just said. I don't think they took that into consideration. Yeah.
Well, you, I don't even understand how you have an hour to give to me, and that's cool. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say my phone's been beeping. About every 3 minutes I'm getting a call. they'll be all right. I'm going to take this out.
Are you sure? Because, you know, you're... Your daughter, she's stable, and that's what I want to know. But if you
she's
have
stable,
to go.
And she's strong. She's stable, and she's a very strong person. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. God bless. And how's your wife under all these circumstances? How does she manage with you going back and forth? Is she cool? I guess she has to be at this point, right?
Yeah, she's okay. I mean, sometimes she says she would rather I be here than 7,500 miles away. But I think she's adjusted because we've been making that trip for two years now.
Yeah. So. Wow, that's pretty amazing. How did you get involved? I mean, I know that you're self-taught, and that's another mind-boggling thing about you. You are self-taught on not just one, but a few instruments, correct?
I am self-taught on everything. Well, okay. I'm self-taught on the band instruments. That was the after-school instruments, such as guitar, bass, a little bit of drums, and keyboards just enough to get my projects done, but I wouldn't play them out. A guitar and bass I do play out on a regular. Sax, trumpet, trombone, the band instruments I learned in school, and I learned how to read on those, and I learned my theory. So I took what I knew from the wind and brass instruments, and I transposed that to the I'm going to call them the after-school instruments, the band, you know, the rock band instruments and so forth.
Wait a minute. Well, how many instruments do you know how to play, Earl?
Oh, do I really know? Okay, I don't claim to play anything but guitar, bass, and sax, but I really know how to play about 10.
Oh, my God. Wow. So... No wonder you're working all the time, because you can fill in where needed, can't you?
I can if I had to, but the only ones I actually fill in on right now are the guitar and bass. Those are the only two right now.
So how did you come to the attention with what you've learned? And when you were playing, you came to the mind of Bobby Lyle and Angela Beaufield and Regina Bell, Pieces of a Dream, Spyro Gyra. When did you start playing out professionally?
Oh, well, I started a long time ago with a group by the name of, they're called Trouble Funk, actually. My first big show was at the Baltimore Civic Center.
Oh, wow.
And I was with a group called Trouble Funk. The other artists were Johnny Gill. It was his first big show too. New Edition, they were there. They were playing. They were singing songs like "Tandy Girl." Johnny and New Edition had not met yet. There was a group called Roger and Zap. He was the headliner. So my biggest, I first got exposed to playing big concerts back in the early '80s. With that group, and I left them and joined a group called EU, and we traveled.
Oh, yeah.
There was actually another guitarist, Tino. Tino played with them more than I did, but when he couldn't play for like a couple, 2 and 3 years at a time, I would play, and I did a lot of traveling with EU. I'm on this famous video. It's called Go Go Live at the Capitol Center, and I'm actually playing with them on that.
Oh, cool. 1987. Oh,
and,
my
God. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. But I did a lot of studio work in the 90s and worked up the corporate ladder. But when I decided to jump out there, I had a Marcus Johnson. He was one of the guys I worked in the studio with since the early 80s when he was a little baby. When he first started playing practice. So back in 2001, he wanted to, he was coming off of a cruise. I believe it was with Miles J, because we did a lot of work with Miles J as well. But I hadn't spoken with him in about 15 years or so, since the 90s. And he came off the cruise, and he had a show at the Carter Baron, and he had his band was still, I think they were still on the cruise, so he needed a second band for the Carter Baron. Well, the second band just happened to have been Jared, JJ on drums, Jared on sax, Dave Dyson on bass.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it. So, but Stan Cooper couldn't make it because he was on the cruise. So he needed a guitar player, and he called his buddy manager at the time, Orlando Mullins. And Orlando said, oh, I know this hot guitar player, guy named Earl Carter, blah, 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 blah. And I guess Marcus was like, I've known him since the 80s, but we haven't worked together since the early 90s.
How about it?
Does he know my material? No, he won't know any of the material, but he's good. So next thing I know, I'm on the stage with all these monsters, because you know all those guys are like,
oh,
bad,
of course,
super bad. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I might not have been in this circle, but I feel like I can hang. So the next thing you know, Marcus was like, he showed up from his cruise. He's like, oh, you don't know any of my material, do you? I said, no, but I can pick up real quick. So as you play, I'll be right on it. He's like, okay. So next thing you know, we tore up the Carter Baron. They were doing the We're Not Worthy dance and screaming and hollering and yelling. And he kept calling me up to the front for solos, and the crowd would roar and so forth. So at the end of the concert, he said, I'm sorry, man. I said, what are you sorry for, Marcus? He said, I'm sorry for not calling you all these years, man. I've been trying to do it. And after that, he was already in with Bob Johnson and about to sign a multi-million-dollar deal. So next thing you know, we were doing all of the house band work for BET and so forth, and that's when I got to meet all of those people on the resume.
That is so awesome. He is one shrewd marketing guy, is he not, Marcus Johnson?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can not take that away from him. He is an excellent marketer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
His mama and daddy taught him right, made
right.
sure that he knew the business end of the music business, because a lot of folks have stars in their eyes when they get involved in thinking that it's going to be all wine, women, and song. But, man,
right.
there is a lot to learn, and Tina Marie could have told us all a few things about that, too, because she
right.
she made sure that she wrote songs and she got publishing rights. People don't think about this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. When back in the 80s, Marks and I were doing the studio work together, but we also had a band. And I remember going over his house. He was like, he might have been 13, 14 years old. I sat down with his dad, and we had a long discussion, and he taught me so much in that one, I think about an hour and a half. He taught me so much in that hour and a half that I still retained it to this day.
How about
it? Sharp. Yeah, his dad was a sharp businessman. And when I went to Ghana, we went to Ghana with BET. His dad flew over with us and hung out. And he was still one of the coolest guys you'd ever want to know. Yep.
Wow. And it's to Marcus's credit that, you know, he absolutely loved getting that kind of information from his parents and appreciates that input so much. And, of course, you know, we talk about it probably, Earl, you talk about it in your circles. I talk about it in mine. And then our circles intertwine. But, you know, I even know a gentleman who is from Baltimore who really wanted to do a documentary about growing up in his community, African-American neighborhood in Baltimore, and about the fact that, you know, our parents, they wanted us to do better than them. As it turns out, some folks that were the children of those people who wanted to have us do so well, they did better than us. So
right.
I know that Marcus Johnson's parents were intent on making him aware how important it was to show out as a young African-American man. And my gosh, he has learned every single facet of how presentation, how performance, and in all of it, he's reaping the benefits of all that knowledge.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And that's another blessing that he was given that opportunity to now, you know, he's actually sharing that information with others now too, and that's the key to keep it going.
That's right, and that's how you know that you'll get blessed if you don't withhold that information. You share it because that's why we were born. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a production partner that he does seminars, and he invited me to work with him as a speaker. And he does seminars in areas such as motivation and so forth. So he has one called Show Me How to Live Your Dreams. Show Me How to Live My Dreams. And that's basically, it's in the same ballpark. It's trying to educate people who want to get out of their 9-to-5 rut, and they're frustrated, but they're not sure how do I do this? I mean, I have bills, I have responsibilities. How do I make the transition? And he knows that I made the transition. I've known the guy for 20-something years, a gentleman named J.R. Fenwick. So he invited me to participate in a tour that he's putting together.
Oh, that's wonderful. Gosh. And you're such a positive person that you would be a natural, because there's so much from your experience. It's really, really tough. And these days, because you made this decision some years ago, I would imagine in these past several years, it would be unthinkable to leave a corporate structure where you were making any kind of money at all to face very uncertain times. The fact that people are still making these motivational speeches, that says a lot about them, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because it's tough. When I did it, we weren't in a recession, and times weren't as hot as they are now. So yeah, I have to agree with you on that. That's true.
Yeah. Whew. Mercy sakes. Can we do another song? And you know what? We were talking about Out on a Limb, and you said that somebody actually who was listening to the show today requested that song. So let's do it. Why did you decide this particular song by Tina Marie just hit you, or you just wanted to do it instrumentally the way it touched you vocally?
I'll tell you what happened. As a producer and engineer, I have a lot of clients to come in and record. And this one young lady, this was a couple of years before I did the song, well, about a year before I did it. She came in, and she was trying to get back into singing, and she liked that song. I used to play it with some guys back when it came out, and I liked it, but we played it, you know, we had a female vocalist and so forth singing it. So it was already one of my favorites, but when she brought it back and she brought it to me, and then she didn't want to finish it. She her confidence wasn't quite where it should have been, so she was just getting back into music. She said, it sounds great, but I'm not too confident with my vocals. So I said, well, I think, you know, I guess I'll just put it out as an instrumental then, because it's one of my favorite songs. And then I don't know if you remember, I dedicated it to my dad when he passed in 2008. He passed in April of 2008, and we were at a Best Western, and I had a great band backing me. It was Ron Thompson's band. Was it Four Corners? Four Corners.
Four Corners. Yes.
Yeah, and they brought it to life, and I had a good time. You were hosting the show, actually. Yep. So,
I remember that. I remember.
Yeah. I believe I closed with it. But, one of my favorites. Young lady coming back in the studio, that's what convinced me to decide to do a remake on it.
Well, with everything happens for a reason. I mean, these things are no accidents that come along. You were supposed to do this song. So this is this was from your first CD, correct?
Second CD, yep.
Second, okay.
First, yeah. I have to go back into my archive, get you the old stuff.
I love it. You go dig in the archives for it, and we'll listen to Earl Carter doing his stellar version of that beautiful Tina Marie song, Out on a Limb, Hybrid Jazz, from Trish Hennessy. Eric Carter, when it's an instrumental, it is so haunting the way you did that. Man!
Thank you.
Just beautiful. I really have always loved that take on Tina's song so much that you did, because you can always tell that somebody puts an extra measure of love because they appreciated it so much the first time around.
Yeah. With that one was from the heart. It was definitely from the heart. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can always tell. You know, speaking of people that have influenced you, and you know you have such love for Tina, who is it that you're listening to these days? And this is a twofold question. Who is it that you listen to that you like now, and it's maybe even startling to you that you like them as far as playing, or people that are your favorites? And what do you think of the state of jazz today? Is that too loaded a question for you, Earl?
No, I can handle all of it.
Good. I thought you could.
Remind me if I forget any of it, though. But
okay.
Well, George Benson, Norman Brown, and Earl Klugh are my favorites from way back. Those are the guys that I kind of study. And Jimi Hendrix. I can't leave out Jimi Hendrix. The four of them, George Benson, Earl Klugh, Norman Brown, Jimi Hendrix. Now, the guys who I listen to now are people that, well, one of them, a lot of people know. Two of them, when I mention the names, people, unless you're in the business, they may or may not know. Let's see, I'll start with Paul Jackson Jr., and he's kind of like a mentor of mine. We occasionally talk just to catch up. He's so busy, and I think that's two reasons that I respect him so much. Number one is his playing and talent, but number two, he works harder than I do. He works harder than me and Stan Cooper combined, and that's it.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah, he was on American Idol for many years. I think he's on Jay Leno's Tonight Show right now with Ricky Minor. He does, if you pull up his discography, whatever.
Discography,
how do you say that word?
Yeah.
It's like, it's probably, the list is so long, it'll take you a day to count. And you'll say, what? He was on Mike Beat It? He was on all those big hits from back in the day. And you'll be like, oh, that's the guy that did that. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then number two, another friend, Ronnie Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I stay in touch with Ronnie as well. And I'll tell you why I like Ronnie. And there's a few songs actually on each CD. I'll do at least one or two songs that have a Ronnie Jordan flavor. He adds a touch of urban hip hop to his material,
mm-hmm.
And I've always liked that. And because I play so many different genres, one of the genres I played a lot was R&B, hip hop, R&B, and go go. So when you add an urban flavor, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right down my alley.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, new school guy that I like a lot, is John Mayer. This young guy has an old soul. And if you listen, John Mayer's pop material is fine as far as, you know, listen to just his vocal ability and general writing skills and so forth. But when you listen to his three-piece, I'm not sure if they're still doing it or not, but he had a three-piece blues band with Pino Palladino, Steve Jordan, I think his name is. But anyway, if you ever check out the John Mayer Trio, it's a blues trio, but it's the funkiest blues trio I've ever heard. And I was sold on John Mayer the minute I heard that. I said, oh, man, he has an old soul, and he was crushing those guitar parts. I mean, he does some amazing stuff, John Mayer.
And, You know, it's so interesting about John. You know, I've known about him for quite a while because we share a birthday, October 16th. But he's real young. And, you know, as is so often the case with young folks, they make mistakes. I don't know about his blues scenario or what he's doing. I know that he's probably attempting to do a tour, and I have to check out what he's done. I really loved his work. But I think that after that interview that he did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think he tried to fix that. But I still respect his plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it's just that as a woman, I think that maybe as a woman I got a little bit more ferocious about it.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, God bless him, though. He's, you know what? He's an incredible musician. He really is.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Direction of jazz. Well, as you know, you probably know more than I do about that, since you were you had the radio shows at the what's your station ID? You know which one? 104.
Oh, WSMJ. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
104.3, that's right, 104.3 it was.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's getting more and more difficult to market and promote your material because of things like the formats changing at the stations. Concert sales have been light sometimes. I do large gigs, I do small venues, and I've seen... Sometimes I've seen a lack of support as far as, I'm not going to say support, a lack of audience attendance.
Yeah.
And what happens is that results in promoters saying, well, maybe this is not a good idea. Maybe I need to try something else because we're not filling the seats. And if we don't fill the seats, we don't recoup our investment. So.
Right.
But we're losing our shirt. We have to try something else. The result of that is I noticed a couple things going on. I see that some of the more better-known artists are teaming up together in order to they're doing cruises and so forth and jam sessions and things where they collaborate more in order to try to draw more people in it and increase the ticket sales. And also notice a lot of crossover attempts, which is what I enjoy anyway, and that's why I respect Ronnie Jordan so much, is because he has that urban edge to a lot of his material.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm headed as well. I'm doing more of a crossover. Eric Marner, saxophonist, and I are putting together a group, actually – Brave New World are it consists of some of the young guys who were over in Africa with me. These guys have a lot of talent and a lot of energy, and I mean they bring it. As an Eric, the first time I put them together, he was like, "You can't out energy me. You cannot out energy me." I'm just joking, man. And he's huffing and puffing. I'm just joking. Because they bring so much energy to the table. Yeah. So So we got something new and exciting going on. I don't think the whole group will be there tonight, but some of the guys will be playing with us tonight.
Really? Oh.
Yep. A lot of energy. Yep.
Oh my gosh, that's so hot to know that. You know what? I'm so excited that you and Eric are continuing your partnership, because there's something about you two together that is just so dynamic. And it just it fuels things, and that's the thing, Earl. I get so excited about lament so many radio stations shuttering their doors because of a couple of people who made decisions about jazz radio that was very unfortunate. But now what's happened is, because of all of that, so many creative minds have been thinking and thinking and thinking outside the box.
Outside the box.
Yes. So everybody is garnering all this revitalized energy and saying, you know what, doesn't matter anyway, I'm not answering to anybody, so you know what, I want to do it my way.
That's right, that's right. So as a result, Brave New World was created, and we have a good time. And as a matter of fact, Club 347 is one of our favorite spots to perform anyway. So
yeah.
We'll bring these high-energy young guys down there. It's going to be on.
Woohoo! I love to hear that. That's awesome. Well, as you might suspect, I have a little collaboration with you and Eric Marner right here from Project X. You don't think you're going to get off without me playing foreplay, right?
play on. I haven't heard in a while. I look forward to listening.
Oh, well, you know what? And you and I corresponded last night, and it was really wild because I have Project X. I used to play it at the old radio stations all the time because I've got my one copy. But when I actually put it inside my computer, it gave me all the titles for $4.95.
Yeah, so, you know, I had that happen too with the iTunes or something. It automatically recognizes my name, and it'll pull titles and mix up my CDs because I actually have four projects on iTunes, and it mixes. I don't know if it's iTunes Microsoft or somebody. However that all that works, they mix up the songs and the CDs somehow.
That is wild. But you know, so I was struggling last night. I was sweating, thinking, okay, I'm counting down. What track is it? So you'll know, folks who are listening, you'll know that it's the song called Foreplay because it's pretty sexy. I just love this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a flavor of what folks can be hearing tonight, but there's a lot more to focus on what you're going to hear at Club 347 tonight. So if you want to say anything else, let me know.
Who, me?
Yep.
I just want to mention.
Yeah.
No. I didn't mention who the players were on the last one. That's all.
Yeah, you did.
Out on a limb. Out on a limb.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who were they?
The producer was Patrick Cooper, keyboard player. Patrick Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
And J.J. Williams, drummer. He plays for Dave Cars and all those guys. Michael Baker from Rare Essence was playing bass. We grew up, he, I, and Marcus Johnson played together from back in the 80s. And who am I leaving out? Guitar. I think that's it. It was four-piece. Yeah, and
okay.
Myself. Mm-hmm.
And I've got the personnel for foreplay, but first of all, I'm not going to let these people wait anymore. I'm just going to play it. This is from Earl Carter's Project X CD. Get ready for this track on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woohoo! Away we go.
Thank you.
Play that sax, boys. Play that sax. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was at the show. Not show time yet.
Oh, my God. You two do know how to work that thing. I'm telling you. Woo! Wow. That is crazy. That is from Project X. You have to pick that up. And give us your website, Earl, so folks know where to buy that so they can get lucky on this week.
Yeah, just visit earl-carter.com. So Earl Carter was taken by a photographer, so I had to put a hyphen in between my name, first and last name.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, earl-carter.
And that website is busy. I'm telling you, that is one busy website. So it's really interesting, and I appreciate that you keep it up to date, because I have to get on some of these artists who don't do that. And
right.
It's real nice to see that you're taking such care, and folks can see videos and get actual news that's current.
All right. Well, you can thank Scott Paddock for that. He's the one that turned me on to that web host several years ago. He and I were about to, Scott Paddock and I were about to sign to a large indie label, and then the guy decided not to to do the jazz division. But So I was able to, you know, I updated myself. A lot of artists, they have somebody else updating their page. That's why it's not, that's probably why it's not current. But I update my own. And like I said, Scott Paddock turned me on to the web host.
Well, he'll appreciate that shout out. Trust me. There are so many people that are just amazing in this region and beyond. It's just such a pleasure to know that you're doing so well. I'm so glad after having met you. I guess the first time was at one of the brunches for WSMJ. And you were such a humble and vastly talented guy, and you are making some inroads, and you're making a difference, and you've still got that fire in your belly. Thank God for you, Earl. Thank God.
I want to enjoy life. That's my goal these days, is to share what I've experienced with others, share my knowledge with others, because I've been around for a while, so I've learned a lot.
I understand.
I want to enjoy this ride, though. A lot of things that I used to get stressed out about, they don't stress me anymore, because I already know the outcome. Or if I don't know the outcome, I understand that it's probably not going to be as bad as I think. So
right.
I'm enjoying life now. Yeah.
And you know what? There is so much truth into that that book title, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff.
Right. Yep.
So bless your heart. And because of that, because you've learned that, you're able to focus on what you can do for other people in regard to your music. And my God, do we appreciate that, because you just have a certain kind of touch with that guitar. People in the chat room really appreciate you, and this is going to enable, I mean, you just are one stepping stone after another in fulfilling more and more people's healing. That's how I view you.
Well, thank you. That's my goal. So I think that I'm still here for a reason, and I think that might be part of the reason anyway, for
That's
some
it.
Reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's a good possibility. We'll see you tonight at Club 347. That's going to be hot.
Yep. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. If anybody's listening and you're in the Baltimore area, you're going to want to come down. We're going to have a great time. I mean, it's going to be smoke. And I'm not even talking about just because of the talent, but it's just the environment. And the fact that the reason Eric and I work so well together is because we're both unselfish. I mean, we might go sit down in the crowd and let the guys just go for it, and you'll enjoy it.
That's awesome. Well, it'll really be good to see you. Hopefully, things will work out that I can make my way down. But again, Earl, and that's a dashcarter.com has more information. God bless you, Sugar. Thanks for spending so much time with me today.
Thank you, Trish. All love. All love.
All loved. 24/7. And I'll see you on Facebook.
Okay. Definitely.
All right. You are something else. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We've got 60 seconds to wrap this up, and let us tell you that it's going to be all love next week. I'm going to leave that as a surprise for you. Thanks all to our beautiful people, Albert and Beach and Griselda and Matt for a while, and the folks whose names we don't know. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. Be safe. It's Memorial Day weekend. God bless you, and I appreciate your support.